everyone. Welcome to Every Great Adventure Begins as a Dream, a podcast where I inspire you to get out there and see the world. I'm Donna, a baby boomer and somewhere in the vicinity of being a senior citizen. I spent nearly 20 years as a professional travel counselor helping thousands of people see the world. Prior to that, I was in the U.S. Navy, ultimately attaining the rank of commander. My first duty station was in Neamakri, Greece. Now that was a great adventure. I was truly living the dream. Although I've traveled a lot, there's still a lot of world out there for me to see. Since I'm not getting any younger, I've got to keep going to see as much as I can before I can't. So, let's dream together and plan our next great adventure. For more inspiration, you can follow me on my blog at everygreatadventure.com, where you can also see my travel photos. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest as Every Great Adventure. Of course, you can always reach me by email. My address, Donna@everygreatadventure.com. I'm sad to say, Egypt was far down on my bucket list of places to visit. I guess I never really thought much of Egypt beyond the Sphinx and Pyramids of Giza. Unexpectedly, we spent a magical week in Egypt. Now, whenever Art and I talk with others about travel, we tell everyone, put Egypt on your bucket list. Our trip occurred in 2007, when we still owned our travel agency. It was a familiarization trip provided to us by Isram Tours. Our 7-day trip was jam-packed with visits to all the most important Egyptian sites, as well as hotel tours and a little free time for shopping or exploring. There were lots of early mornings and some very late nights, but it was worth it. I'll be honest, I wasn't expecting much of Egypt Air. We were in economy class, and the seats were okay. Not the most comfortable, but bearable. Our flight from JFK to Cairo started with the pilot announcing that we were number 54 in line for takeoff. Art and I looked at each other in amazement, as if to say, "Did I hear that right?" About that time, the pilot turned on the camera that was on the front landing gear of the plane, and you could see all the aircraft lined up ahead of us. We had never, in all of our travels, seen such a sight. About an hour later, we were finally in the air. From then on, the flight went smoothly. And actually, the service was quite good, exceeding my expectations. We arrived in Cairo around 11 a.m. Our guide from Isram Tours, Hashem, was there to meet us and had our visas already purchased for us. Egypt does require all visitors from the U.S. to have a visa, which is purchased once you arrive. The current price for a single-entry 30-day visa is $25. We soon arrived at the JW Marriott, located in a suburb of Cairo, not far from the airport. We were quickly checked in and began our tour of the hotel. The resort is very large and beautiful. The pool area looked like a wonderful oasis with cabanas and play areas, lots of space for both adults and children. This would be a great place to decompress and recover after touring Egypt before you head back home. With lots of marble, the resort is very opulent. It reminded me of some of the larger resorts in the Cancun area. After our tour, we had some time to rest and then get cleaned up prior to our welcome dinner at the resort, which was very good. It felt as though our heads had just hit the pillow before our wake-up call came, and we were headed back to the airport for our 6:30 a.m. flight to Luxor. Although the flight was only an hour long, it did give us a little time to catch a few more winks before we landed. The approach to Luxor at that time of the morning was beautiful. The oranges, yellows, purples, and pinks of the sun reflected in the limestone mountains that surrounded the area. Our luggage was taken directly to our cruise ship, the MS Alexander, while we went on a tour of the Karnak Temple Complex. The sheer magnitude of the Karnak Temple Complex was insane. You may recall reading about this place in the history books, but I promise you, it's so much more than you imagine. Just to give you an idea of the magnitude of things, Hashem had us encircle one of the many pillars with our arms outstretched, just touching our fingertips to one another. It took 13 of us to reach all the way around one pillar. It's astounding to think that all this was made without the aid of modern machinery. It was simply manpower that did all this work. Every hieroglyph was hand-carved, each monolith hand-chiseled, every stone lifted by the efforts of many, many men. Yes, it was mostly slave labor, but that's a whole different issue, which I won't be discussing here. The afternoon provided us with a little free time to get settled on the boat, visit a small museum on our own, and explore the area a little. Since the boat overnighted in Luxor, Hashem took us back to tour the Karnak Temple a bit more and get to experience its magic under the lights. The next morning was another very early morning. We had to be up in the lounge, ready to go at 4 a.m. Now, this was an optional part of our tour, and one that I am so glad we took advantage of. The ship had sack breakfast ready for us when we made it to the lounge. We waited for a short while, and soon a young boy came to the door and motioned for us to come with him. We all climbed into a van, which stopped at a few more of the river boats where we picked up additional passengers. After a few minutes, we stopped again. The young boy motioned for us to come with him. Not once did the driver speak to us or the young boy. It was all hand signals. We followed the young boy to a water taxi, where there was some very strong coffee and snacks for us. Soon a man came on board and introduced himself as Mohammed. As our water taxi took us across the Nile, Mohammed explained that he was the pilot of the hot air balloon, which was to take us up over the west bank of the Nile. He provided us with a safety brief. Then he explained the three kinds of balloon landings. The Egyptian landing is where the balloon slowly descends to the ground and we climb out. The next is the British landing, where the balloon slowly descends but the basket falls over and we all climb out. The last is the American landing, where the balloon descends, the basket falls over, and the wind drags us along the ground. Then Muhammad announced, "Today we hope for an Egyptian landing," to which we all agreed. It was still quite dark when we arrived at the West Bank. We made our way across a few other water taxis and then onto a wooden board perhaps 10 inches wide, which was resting on sandbags, which we crossed to the shore. A young boy stood on the shore and shined a portable light so we could see where we were going. We were then directed to a van. Outside of the van stood a couple of men dressed in traditional garb, their head coverings wrapped around their faces. We couldn't tell for sure where we were, but it didn't look like a commercial area. Soon the men jumped in the van and hit the gas. Rocks and dirt spewed out from under the wheels and chickens went flying. We bumped along for a few moments and were soon on a paved road. The sky was beginning to lighten by this time and we could see the immense colossi of Memnon as we passed by. Eventually, we pulled into a field where we could see the balloons glowing. As we arrived, you could hear the hiss of the burners as the heat brought the balloons to life. Eventually, we were called over to a balloon, and there was Muhammad waiting for us in the center of a huge basket. I'm not sure what I was expecting, but I never thought these balloons could lift a basket with 20 passengers plus the pilot. As there were no doors into the basket, they had a stepladder for us to climb over the side. The baskets were divided into four quadrants, plus a center location for the pilot. Although five of us were contained in each section, we had plenty of room and everyone had a window seat. And then the magic happened. Our balloon slowly lifted from the ground. The burner would hiss and the warmth of the flame would spread out. And then it was absolute silence. As we floated above the scenery, it was magical. The sun rose, and I was mesmerized by the changing colors below, purple, blue, pink, orange, yellow. We floated over a man sitting outside his hut, cooking over an open fire. The braying of his donkey was the only thing that broke the silence. As we floated up a bit higher, we could see the entire complex of Hatshepsut's mortuary temple. On occasion, Muhammad's walkie-talkie would go off and the balloon pilots briefly spoke to one another to coordinate their movements. Otherwise, it was peaceful and quiet. We floated over another large complex, which included the mortuary temple of Amenhotep II and the sprawling Ramesseum, and then out over the desert. As we began to descend, children on bicycles appeared out of nowhere and greeted us as our balloon gently touched the ground. Mohammed was a great pilot, and we had our Egyptian landing. Although I'm not sure just how much we paid for the balloon ride, it was worth every penny. I'm sure it wasn't inexpensive. I do recall Art and I looking at each other and him finally saying, We're probably never going to get back here again, so let's do it. Of all my travel memories, I must say this is definitely a top contender. There are numerous vendors who offer hot air balloon rides over the West Bank of the Nile. We flew with Sindbad. Their website currently lists the early morning balloon flights at US$150 per person. Afterward, Art expressed that he had been worried with my fear of heights that I wouldn't do well on that ride. But honestly, it was so peaceful and serene. I never even felt as though we were moving, although obviously we did. I stood at the side of that basket and took hundreds of pictures. Thank goodness for digital cameras. I don't think I could have carried enough rolls of film. You can see a compilation of my photos entitled Thebes, Egypt by Hot Air Balloon on my YouTube channel, Donna Wickerham. After our hot air balloon ride, we met up with the rest of our group at the Colossi of Memnon and headed off to Hatshepsut's mortuary temple. This is a large complex, but since it's a mortuary temple, it's quite different from Karnak. As Hisham explained to us, Hatshepsut was a queen and not entitled to be buried in the Valley of the Kings. Her mortuary temple was very magnificent, actually carved into the side of the mountain, outwardly more beautiful than those of the kings. After exploring the mortuary temple, we once again boarded our motor coach and headed north to the Valley of the Kings, where we went into a couple of the tombs. In general, the tombs are large with multiple chambers and very elaborately decorated. It's a stark difference when you enter Tutankhamun's plain tomb with only two chambers. I was astounded at how much there was to see in the area around Luxor. We returned to our boat and were soon headed down the Nile. It was a relaxing afternoon watching the scenery pass by. If I recall correctly, we fell asleep very quickly that night. It was a long but beautiful day. The next morning, we were docked in Edfu, where we toured the Temple of Horus. We did have a little time for shopping before we took a carriage ride back to the boat. The sun had already set by the time we arrived in Komombo. The Temple of Komombo was well lit, and once again, seeing a temple under the lights gave it a magical feel. Our last stop was in Aswan, where we had another night on the boat before our cruise ended. This allowed us to spend the day touring Aswan. Here we saw the Aswan High Dam, the Temple of Isis, and the unfinished obelisk. We also visited a perfume store, where we were provided a demonstration about all the different oils and what they were used for. It was actually quite interesting. Then we set sail on a felucca, which is a traditional wooden sailing boat of the region. It made for a nice, relaxing respite from the touring. Our last morning in Aswan, we arose and headed to the airport for a flight to Abu Simbel. This was probably the most impressive stop on our tours. Since it's an additional flight, Abu Simbel is often offered as an optional add-on to most tours. This is absolutely a sight you should see in Egypt. If you have the opportunity and the means, go. Abu Simbel is amazing just as you see it. Then, when you consider that the two temples of Abu Simbel were literally taken apart piece by piece and moved up the mountain, it is truly mind-boggling. When the Aswan Dam was built, it would have flooded the original location of this site. UNESCO stepped in and facilitated the move up to higher ground, which occurred between 1964 and 1968. There is a display at the site that details the entire fascinating process. After our tour in Abu Simbel, we flew back to Cairo, staying at the Cairo Hilton, which was very conveniently located. We were struck by the amount of traffic in the city. In fact, we were warned that probably the biggest danger in Cairo is crossing the street, and we are instructed to take great care. Our tour of the Museum of Egyptian Antiquities was quite interesting. It was here they had a large display of King Tutankhamun artifacts as well as a mummy room. It was amazing to see the actual mummies, not just the sarcophagi. Hisham told us that a new, much larger museum was scheduled to open soon, which would be able to hold many more of the antiquities owned by the museum. Unfortunately, it's now 2020 and the new museum has still not opened. Since our visit in 2007, Egypt has been through a lot. The Egyptian Revolution occurred in 2011, during which the museum was broken into and some of the items were damaged and stolen. There's also been a lot of governmental turnover since then. The last I read, the new museum was set to open in the fall of 2020, but that was prior to the global pandemic. That evening, we walked over to the Cairo Tower and experienced the difficulty of crossing the streets firsthand, but we made it. There was no direct route to the tower, and although we could see it, a bit of effort was required to get to it. We finally found our way there, and after paying our admission, went up to the observation deck. There we had a beautiful view of Cairo at sunset, and could even see the pyramids of Giza off in the distance. Our next day started with an interesting walk through Old Cairo. Here we visited the Ben Ezra Synagogue, built where the baby Moses was believed to have been found in the reeds. We also saw the Church of St. Sergius and Bacchus, which was built over the cave where the Holy Family is believed to have stayed at the end of their journey to Egypt. Next, we went over to Giza, where things started with a camel ride. Camels are not really my cup of tea. They're not very clean, and I really had no desire to ride one. Others in the group did, and I was content to take pictures for them. Afterward, we were off to the Solar Boat Museum, which I had never heard of before. The boat, which was intended to take the pharaoh to the next world, was one of several found buried near the Great Pyramid. We then went to the Great Pyramid, and since I'm not one for tight spaces, I elected not to participate in the tour of the interior. Finally, we drove over to the Sphinx, which was much smaller than I had imagined. Seeing the pyramids of Giza and the Sphinx really should be a pinch-me moment. After everything we had already seen, I was unfortunately a little underwhelmed. Therefore, I highly recommend that you visit Giza at the beginning of your tour of Egypt. Truth is, as amazing as they are, there are many more magnificent sights to see other than the pyramids of Giza and the Sphinx. Our last day in Egypt was another busy one. We began in Memphis, where we saw the Alabaster Sphinx and the great statue of Ramses II. Next, we went to Saqqara, where we saw Djoser's Step Pyramid and another beautiful mortuary complex. We were able to go into one of the nearby tombs here as well. On our way back to Cairo, we stopped at El Sultan Carpet School, where they teach the locals, men and women, both young and old, the craft of hand-knotting carpets. It really makes you appreciate the effort that goes into each one of those carpets. While there, we watched a young man who was creating carpets that were so detailed they could have been paintings. I was so tempted to purchase a carpet, but we just didn't have any place we could have used one in our house at the time. The last site we visited on our tour of Egypt was the Citadel of Salah al-Din and the Mosque of Muhammad Ali. The Citadel was not only the seat of government, but the residence of Egypt's rulers from the 13th to the 18th centuries. I had never heard of the Citadel or the mosque before our visit. It was another amazing sight to see in Cairo and is part of the UNESCO World Heritage Site, Historic Cairo. We had some time to grab a falafel at a local restaurant and then had a little free time to spend wandering the maze that made up the bazaar. Art and I wandered quite a bit, to the point of we had no idea where we had been or where we were going. A shopkeeper must have seen the perplexed look on our faces. He asked if we were lost and then offered to take us back to the entrance. However, he didn't take us back the way we came. He took us through his shop, then through several houses. Apparently they lived behind their shops. Through another shop, and voila, we were back at the entrance to the bazaar. The sun was setting as we drove back to our hotel, and we saw another beautiful sunset in Egypt. As I knew it would most likely be quite dusty in Egypt, I had purposely taken a very old pair of short suede rubber-soled boots to wear on this tour. I loved those boots. They were so comfortable, and I had prolonged the inevitable many times. My plan was to wear them on this one last trip and then just throw them away at the end of the tour. On the last night of our tour, I had placed them in the trash can of our room prior to going out for dinner and another hotel tour. As we returned to our room, a man was coming out the door. He said to me, "I take care of it for you. Have a nice night," and went off down the hall. We opened the door and there sat my boots, as clean as the day I purchased them. I turned around and went back out into the hallway to thank him, but he was gone. I felt guilty at the thought of leaving them behind, so at that point, what could I do? I had to pack them and take them home with me. Then I threw them away once I got home. By all accounts, what really took this trip over the top was our guide, Hashem, an Egyptologist with a PhD in comparative religions. With this background, he provided some interesting insight into our trip. Hashem was also our escort for the entire trip. At every museum and site we visited, Hashem was our lecturer. He met us at the airport upon our arrival and was with us every step of the way until we were all checked in at the airport for our return home. While we were on our tours, Hashem introduced us to other tour guides. all of whom had PhDs. When you consider how many years of history Egypt holds, it should come as no surprise that these tour guides are very well educated. I have a lot of respect for these guides, and I do recommend that you take a guided tour when you visit the country. Our tour was around the second week of January, winter in Egypt, with cool nights in the mid-40s and moderate temps mid to upper 60s and abundant sunshine during the day, we were very comfortable. We wore jackets that we would normally wear in the spring or fall here in Ohio. We had perfect weather and clear skies our entire trip. Tourism is an important part of the Egyptian economy, and they really appreciate the tourist. That said, don't be surprised that anyone who offers you any help at all will put out their hand for a tip. You don't have to give them anything. I guess they figure there's no harm in trying. I know a lot of people are worried about the safety of traveling to Egypt. Things do seem to have calmed down a bit in the main part of Egypt. Currently, the U.S. Department of State's website lists travel to Egypt as a level 2, the same as France, the United Kingdom, and several other European countries. I will say that we felt safe during our entire trip. Egypt has seen its share of problems in the recent past, and like any place you travel to, check the Department of State's website for the current travel advisories before you leave for any foreign country. I am so grateful we were able to take advantage of the opportunity to take this trip. Egypt is truly an amazing country. It'll be worth your time and the expense of visiting. Unless you speak Arabic, I would suggest you take one of the many tours that are available. Although we enjoyed our tour with Israel, there are many different companies that provide tours of Egypt. Your travel agent will be able to guide you to the one best suited to your desires. Be sure that you take the opportunity to visit as much of the country as you can. There is so much more of Egypt to see beyond the pyramids of Giza. I hope you enjoyed our show today. If you did, be sure to share it with a friend. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest as Every Great Adventure. Visit my website at everygreatadventure.com where you can sign up for my blog. Until next week, keep dreaming of your next great adventure.